Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, let's take a look at what's coming up on TV and in cinemas now. And we're joined today by the Business Post film critic John McGuire and writer Henrietta McCurvey. Welcome, guys.
Hi. Morning, Brendan. How are you?
So the big TV release of the week is The Penguin with Colin Farrell, which is on Sky now. First episode out now. John?
Colin, unrecognisable.
Yeah,
completely unrecognisable.
Got an actor who looked like the character.
That's exactly what I was saying.
It's Colin Farrell. It's more than just the
suit.
He's brilliant. He has to transcend the suit. He has to transcend the prosthetics. He has to transcend all the makeup and all the hair and all that.
And he does, in fairness. He manages that in the middle of all this really well. Yeah,
It's the physical transformation is the thing that'll grab the headlines. But he is truly unrecognisable. But the real story here in The Penguin is how potent he is as this shuffling, sweaty character with his lumpy shape and his facial disfigurements and his gammy leg. He really brings character to... We're tired of superhero stuff by now. Yeah. We're just exhausted by it. This is darker. It's grimmer. It's a bit more like kind of The Wire, almost, like a superhero The Wire or Goodfellas or Uncut Gems, the Safdie film. It's very intense. It's relentless. I only managed 3 episodes of this. I think there's 8 in the run. Yeah. I was exhausted by it. It just kind of got so grim and so dark. And there is a cohort of this superhero thing that's built up over the last 15 years or so that are looking for these kind of gritty stories. And this it's an extension, I suppose, of The Batman, the Robert Pattinson reboot by Matt Reeves. And Farrell here picks up as the Penguin. Boom, boom. And you have the story, it picks up immediately after 2 weeks or so, and then it just goes in all sorts of directions. But this is a crime story. It's not a superhero story.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no
Batman.
I never watched Marvel stuff, but I watched
the first one of these and I was like, hey, this is...
I was in it because it's more of a mobster show. He has Tony Soprano's problems and Tony Soprano's BMI. And that's where it seems to all jump off from.
But people are going to watch it because of Batman, but then they're going to be surprised by just how good an actor Colin Farrell is. He's gotten over all that matinee idol thing. He's a proper actor. Yeah.
And are they all up? Is every episode there?
No.
It's weekly.
You got
weekly.
Them.
Yeah.
So episode 1 is there now and worth a watch. Now, Henrietta, staying on the kind of Marvel-y end of things, WandaVision was a big hit for Disney during lockdown, and which is kind of meta... a superhero, I suppose. There's a spin-off now, Agatha All Along.
Yes, it just started the other day. It's on Disney Plus. Now, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, nothing ever ends. It just turns another corner, which I actually find very irritating.
Fair play to them.
I get fed up with shows that change the rules whenever it suits them, because it means the narrative stakes get very low. But I did love WandaVision and the way it played with classic television. And Wanda's sorry-not-sorry neighbour, Agnes... Agatha Harkness, who's played by Catherine Hahn, who's amazing. She stole the show in WandaVision, and she's one of the most powerful mystics in the Marvel Universe. She can cast spells, blah, 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 you know, the usual stuff. So this new show is set 3 years after WandaVision. It's the same New Jersey town of Westview. And episode 1 opens as if it's a police procedural called Agnes of Westview, styled like Mayor of Easttown, but really hammy. And it's so well done.
Yeah,
and
funny.
Agnes, funny. But then it goes off into the whole spells, Agatha Harkness, and she has to get her power back. She's got this suspicious goth called Teen, who's played by Joe Locke, so one for Heartstoppers fans, to help her break free from a spell. So I think it's going to be quite nuts and enjoyable, and I would watch Catherine Hahn doing her big shop, so I will watch it for that.
Okay,
but overall, I'm suspicious.
Agatha All Along, Disney Plus, out now. John, Ireland's Coast is on RTE1 tonight at 6:30. Perfect Sunday evening TV.
Now, this is the second episode of the 3-part documentary series. This is adapted from the absolutely gorgeous and multi-award-winning Atlas of the Irish Coast, just published by Cork University Press a couple of years ago. And it tells the story of Ireland's coastline, narrated by Ciarán Hinds, whose voice sounds like two tectonic plates rubbing together. He's perfect for it. The photography is exceptional. Now, when you're watching nature documentaries, you think, oh no, not another drone shot. Ireland looks absolutely spectacular here. It's just gorgeous. But this is what the whole show really, I suppose, is about. It's science. It's about the scientists that study the place where we live. So you've got geology, botany, whatever scientific aspect, whatever turn they can put on it.
Okay.
They explore it really, really cleverly. It's not hard going at all. No, it's very popular. But now for the episode that's on tonight at 6:30 on RT1, we get divers excavating a 16th century Spanish galleon. There's boat builders in Baltimore. You get salt farmers up in Ackle. We go to pilgrims visiting ancient Irish Christian sites. You get botanical artists.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's a full picture.
Okay, Ireland's course.
For them to cram all of that into an hour or so, and to have it make sense and be beautiful and be beautifully narrated, I think it's a major achievement. It's a great show. Great.
Okay,
show.
Ireland's Coast, RT1 tonight at 6:30. Henrietta, this sounds really interesting. Wise Guy David Chase and The Sopranos, which is a documentary on Now TV. We forget The Sopranos was the beginning of the kind of modern golden age of quality TV.
It absolutely
TV,
was,
really,
and because
it?
We look back at it now and it's so regularly voted best TV ever, that we forget that it was, when it was commissioned, none of the networks would take a risk on it. He was turned down everywhere because authenticity, it's risky and it's expensive. And this documentary gets really inside that and said, how did a show that was so uncommercial get made? Right. And what happened was that HBO, which in the late 90s was a struggling cable network trying to reinvent itself as a home for quality programming, they were looking to be different and they were the only one that would take a punt on his idea. And it's a really interesting, it's a two-part show, this documentary, two parts. They have fantastic interviews. Lorraine Branco, Michael Imperioli, Edie Falco, who's actually, she played Carmela, and she has one brilliant line in it. She said the show was always shocking somebody about something. It had no trigger warnings, just like life.
Yeah, yeah.
And the interviews with David Chase are absolutely fantastic because he talks about how it worked as a show, both for people who were really into serious drama and for those who wanted, as he calls it, less yakking and more whacking.
Excellent. Okay. Wise Guy David Chase and The Sopranos. That's on Sky Now TV, out now. John, cinema.
Yes.
The Substance, starring Demi Moore, has been getting amazing reviews, but controversial as well. It's quite extreme, what we call
extremely violent.
Yeah.
Now, we're coming up to lunchtime, so we don't want to turn anybody's stomach. So we'll be careful. This is the French writer and director, Coralie Farajet. It's The Substance. It won an award at Cannes, and just a splashy body horror trappings, as you might expect, rendered flesh, flowing fluids, all that kind of stuff. But really, it's a story about our culture's obsession with youth and beauty, and particularly through entertainment and popular culture. And it has Demi Moore given her best performance in more than a decade. I mean, she is exceptional here,
okay,
Demi Moore. But it is insanely violent and frequently outrageous, and it builds to a bloodbath. So you have to just be, have to be warned that, yes, this has serious things to say, but the way in which it is saying those things can turn your stomach. But Moore plays Elizabeth Sparkle. She's the star of it tells you the kind of world that we're in here. The biggest tea show on TV, which is a kind of a keep fit aerobics show. And she gets sacked when she reaches the age of 50, sacked by her boss, who's this total reptile played by Dennis Quaid, to make room for somebody young. She's heartbroken, she's terrified for the future. She gets word of a kind of a secret drug, a secret syndrome thing that she can inject into her body, a bit like Ozempic or Botox. And what will happen is she will give birth, I suppose, to a younger version of herself, played by Margaret Qualley. And they have to, like the Gremlins, there are rules to these kind of things. So she has a week in her own body, and then Sue, the Margaret Qualley character, gets a week in her body to go out and become famous again, which is exactly what she does. And it goes from there, but it ramps up this kind of the physicality of it, the visceralness of Farajet's filmmaking can be really kind of hard to endure. And even though it is an exceptional film in many ways, it goes way beyond the boundaries of what we would consider bad taste, let alone good taste. But if you have the stomach for it, there's some fascinating stuff here. It's a fascinating film.
Cinemas nationwide now, The Substance. Henrietta, his three daughters, is actually on Netflix, but it is being treated as a kind of a major kind of film release this week and reviewed as such.
And it deserves to be very well reviewed. It's really, really good. You know that famous line in Anna Karenina and Tolstoy says, all happy families are alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Well, this is that come to life at a deathbed scene. So it's made by writer-director Asa Jacobs. So three women who haven't lived together for years are back in their childhood apartment in New York waiting for their father, who's having hospice care at home, to die. And it's that really strange time when you're waiting. You know somebody's about to die and like time gets distorted. You're dreading the thing that you know is going to happen and also needs to happen. Like, so they're grieving, but not officially because he's still alive. So what do they do to pass the time? They argue. That's what they do.
bring up a lot of old ground. Yeah, yeah, dig over a lot of old traumas.
And then you kind of explore. Yeah. So it's the eldest, Katie, is played by Carrie Coon. Christina, the middle sister, Elizabeth Olsen. And the youngest is Rachel, Natasha Lyonne, who's a gambling pot. But also the only one who's still been there with their dad looking after him. So that's a very familiar scenario for a lot of people. Yeah. These three siblings who don't spend much time together suddenly forced to.
Yeah.
And John, you loved
it. Oh, I was a big fan of this, yeah. Now, it is that sad little family story, but it concerns this vast universal human experience. We can all relate to stories about grief. And it is cathartic to watch that played out with such honesty and delicacy in three really, really good actors.
Okay.
Trapped in a room. It's a chamber piece in many ways.
Yeah, but it feels like a piece of theatre.
It is superb. Yeah. It's really well done on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay. So, Henrietta, to finish up, there's a documentary film festival in the IFI in Dublin from Wednesday, I think.
Yes.
Tell me about the Housewife of the Year.
Yeah, that is one I'm definitely going to. So between 1969 and 1995...
Kids won't believe this. They won't believe this now. They think this is a Father Ted thing or something.
That's why I'm bringing my 15-year-old, because I think this is something teenagers today should see. So women all over Ireland competed to win the Housewife of the Year competition, which celebrated cookery, nurturing and basic household management skills.
Yeah.
I think what a piece of cultural and social history, which is the amazing thing about this documentary festival. You get to see really interesting non-fiction stories, but you also get the makers of them often do Q&As afterwards. Okay. So you actually get to hear the behind the scenes stuff.
I think
you
remember Kaller Kosengas. They were
the sponsors. Yeah.
Because that's what the women, using when they were changing the cookers. Okay, John McGuire and Henrietta McCurvy, thank you very much for that.